began discussing a little bit about Melechus Kotzer the other day. The Mishnah tells us in Afzari Hamad Aleph, the following din about Kotzer, a Tola Shmira Tetznapot Chaya, Vishin Napot Potter. If a person has a not Tetznapot, there's a flower pot which has a hole in it, so if he pulls something out of it, he pulls a leaf or something out of something that's growing in a not Tetznapot, that's Chaya, that's in the Siddharais of Kotzer. Because if he pulls something out of an otzich in an of just a flower pot without a hole in it, so then he's going to be potter. And then Rabbi Shimon has his own unique tip, but we don't pass it to Rabbi Shimon. So the Mishnah gives the chiluk between otzich nakov and otzich in an of. So this distinction between otzich nakov and otzich in an of, so we find this distinction in other cases. The Gemara has this in the Sefer Gittin, Be'arichos, but there are differences in halacha between an otzich nakov and an otzich in an of. The basic principle is that an otzich nakov is considered to be karka. Since the assumption is that it's somehow yonek derech hakarka, whatever that means, it's hard for us to understand. But somehow that that which is growing in the otzich nakov is receiving nutrition through the hole, which is going getting nutrition from the karka. So if he did, it's considered to be mechub lekarka. The Gemara has it regarding many, many different halachas. And whereas an otzich ein nakov is not really considered to be karka, there's really no shaychus between what's inside the flower pot and what's on the ground. So the pashup shot in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah draws a distinction between otzich nakov and otzich ein nakov vis-a-vis melechus kotzer, so the Gemara sounds like it's just repeating that same principle in halacha, that an otzich nakov is called mechub lekarka and an otzich ein nakov is called ein mechub lekarka. The problem is we have to understand this Mishnah in light of the machlokes that we've shown that we spoke about in the last week's shiur, namely just how critical is karka to be part of the violation of Kotzer in the first place. So remember we mentioned last week that there seems to be a machlokes HaRishonim, the basic machlokes HaRishonim, is Melechus Kotzer limited to being Oker Dvar Min HaKarka? Or maybe Melechus Kotzer is all-encompassing, maybe Melechus Kotzer includes even things which are not Gedula Karka per se, as long as they're Gedulim, as long as you're Oker Dvar Min Gedulo, that's also considered to be Karka. So we mentioned last week to Rishon, and Rishon says, if a person pulls a fish out of the water, that's considered to be malacha of kotzer. The Ramban says, well, pass like that. The Ramban says that the Bavli never said such a thing, because the Bavli holds that there's no such thing as kotzer, shalob b'gidula karka. We had a line from Rashi, maybe Rashi disagrees, maybe Yen, maybe no, we have back and forth last week, but we should accept this, we shall be not. There are two ways of reading the Gemara on Daf Kodan and Beis about the Hoshit, Yadul, Uber, Vilumere, Behema, the Dodul, Uber, Shalomayaha. Again, the basic question being, is kotzer limited dafka to karka or not? So the Chora, we have to understand that Machlok is in light of this din of Otzich Nakov. So the Gemara in Shabbos of Kuchesam and Aleph raises the question. The Gemara asks the question, why is it in effect that an Otzich Nakov is Potter? So the Gemara says a very vague phrase. The Gemara says, Lav Hainu Revisen. That's not considered to be the way that it's growing. So therefore, since that's not Derech HaGidul, so therefore you're Potter in Shabbos. It's not a Nisan Deraisis. What does that mean? So the Parashas, according to the Ramban, that phrase, Lav Hainu Revise, is synonymous with saying that it's not Gedula Karka. That's all the Gemara means, is that according to the Ramban, forget this, Gemara is a riot, as you said, but the reason why you're Potter and also Shein Anokov is because it's Gidul, it is an Okadov in the Gerulo, but it's not an Okadov in the Gedula Karka, because an Otzich Shein Anokov doesn't have a Shachas to the Karka. So according to the Ramban, it's Pashat why Otzich Shein Anokov is Potter. But according to Rashi, according to the Yerushalmi, according to those opinions, that did have the idea of kotzer applying even to non-gidulei karka. So what does the Gemara mean when it says lav hainu revise? So the pashas of the Gemara is that the Gemara is not saying that it's not gidulei karka. Rather, the Gemara is saying it's not considered to be a normal way of doing the malacha. It's considered to be like kaliyach yad. So who says that pshat? Who says that pshat? Rashi says that. Rashi says lav hainu revise. They're aimed at zeriyasham. Rashi says that it's not called Derev Zerias. That's a whole different word. That's not what the Rabban would say to this Gemara. The Rabban would say you don't need Kiliach HaYad to pati you. The reason why you pati was it's not Gidul HaKarka. But Rashi, the Chorez L'Shitah, so the Rashi may very well have followed that Yerushalmi. The Rashi by Kotzer, by Choleh, Rashi entertained the possibility maybe that Choleh is Chayav Shem Kotzer. So according to Rashi, that it could be that you can have Kotzer Min HaTorah even without Gidul HaKarka. So then Taka why you pati this? That's what Rashi had to learn Pshat in the Gemara. Laman Ravisa means that it's not Kederech Zriya. You see something else interesting from Rashi. According to Rashi, he's touching up the Gemara that's Lav Derech Zriya, but we're not talking about Melech Zriya. We're talking about Melechus Kotzer. So you see from Rashi that there's a relationship between these two Melechus, that you can only be Chayav and Kotzer for something which you were Chayav and Zareya on. It's not Shayav. Once you tell me that planting in an Otzich and an Okrug is considered to be Shalok Kederech, so then by definition, being kotzer from an otzich shel anokov is also considered shalok kederech. We're going to see this theme is going to repeat itself. There are many malachas on Shabbos where there's a certain relationship between two malachas. The kosev and mochek, like ma'aver and mechaber, korea and tofer. So in a certain sense, kotzer is the mirror image of I don't know if that's the right word, but it's the flip side of zareya. That all the Gemara has to be kaveya is that it's not called derev zareya. Once it's not called derev zareya, so the mail it's not going to be shayach to derev kotzer. So when did we have this? We spoke about this a little bit. Remember Shlomo Zalman by the flowers? We mentioned this. But the Ramah writes that you're not supposed to put branches with flowers into the water on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Mishnah in Maseches Sukkot, the Gemara in Sukkot talks about putting a lulav into water on Sukkot. The Gemara talks about a whole lot of different cheshbonos, when you're allowed to add water, when you're allowed to replace the water, you're allowed to put it in from scratch. So the Ramah comes and says, in one fell swoop, that's all talking about that there are no buds, there are no flowers. But whenever there are buds, so then everything's off. So you're never allowed to add any water whatsoever, nothing on Shabbos. So we had a Shiloh, right? So we had a Shiloh, that's a din deraisa or a din derabanan. So Shlomo Zalman said that he thinks that it's mutter to take flowers out of the water of Shabbos. Well, Shalom, there was in the Yolam, the flowers, you're not allowed to take flowers out, so that shows that it's not really kosher. So if it's not kosher, that shows that by definition it's not really zareya. So Shlomo Zalman seemed to assume that it's upside chumrah mid derabana, not to put the branches with the flowers into the water of Shabbos, but in the Torah, it's not really zareya. So also Shlomo Zalman also had that idea that zareya and kosher go hand in hand. So that idea that in order to qualify as kosher, you have to really ask yourself, whether it qualifies as chilas zareya, that already has its root. No pun intended. Has its roots in this Rashi, the ain derev zareya sham. Even though the Gemara is not talking about zareya, the Gemara is talking about kol. So now the fact that it's not derev zareya, by definition means that's not going to be derev kol. It's not interesting. Somebody asked me the shayla yesterday. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, somebody asked me if they wanted to add some water to their vase on Yom Tov. So what's the din? So the Mishnah says that on Yom Tov you're not allowed to be machlif, but you're allowed to be mosif. So I said to them, so when I quoted this Ramah, I said to them that if you would have asked me whether you could add water to your lulav sitting in the vase, that it would be mutter. You want to add to your flowers, and your flowers, it's going to open up, close the flowers, maybe to open up a little bit more. So that's what the Ramah said. It was awesome. So that was not what people did. Anyway, getting back to our story. So the Mishnah is very clear that Tolish Meyot, it's not for his own Midrabban, for whatever reason, Ashur, Rabban, etc. Now, coming to Gemara, in the end of the 8th parak, it talks about a whole different angle in terms of Lachas Kotzer. The Gemara wants to know what's the din rather than being kotzer, being tolish from an atzichin onapov, or from an atzich nachov, or from an atzichin onapov. What if the person takes the entire atzich? Let's say the worst case scenario, atzich nachov. Takes the entire atzitz nachov and, in a sense, uproots the atzitz nachov from the ground and places it somewhere else. So what's that? Is that called kotzer? The Mishnah says, if I pluck a leaf out of the atzitz nachov, that's for sure considered to be, that's kotzer the derais, that's mamish din kikach, that's derech zuriya, that's a problem in the Torah. But what if, rather than plucking out something from the atzitz nachov, I uproot the entire atzitz nachov and I take it off the ground and I put it onto yesevis, I put it onto pegs. So I uprooted from its nourishment. So what's the din? So that's what the Gemara calls a parpisa. So Rashi is a long on the Gila here about what this parpisa is. So I did not plan that this should be learned as between Hashem and Kippur. It wasn't the Cheshbon. Rashi seems to be describing some ancient version of kaparis. I don't know, it sounds a little bit easier than throwing chickens. Right? I have to go. What time is, who's from Tinek here? What time of kaparis end in the Shurim today? What time are they over? 12:30? One or something? I do my kids there. So the kids love it. They throw the chickens around the head. So Rashi is a much easier thing that they would just throw these leaves or branches, whatever they were, around the heads. Rashi loved the minute they used to do it in Erev Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, straight. Whatever it is. Sure. So that part doesn't interest us. So the parpisa, which is basically the halach equivalent of an atzitz nachov, so comes the Gemara and says, I'm Rabbi Parpisa, I'll be also the yod and later the hill Sunday, Alpha of the days. But if a person takes this parpisa, takes this atzitz nachov, which we used to be on the ground, and puts it on pegs on Shabbos, so that's a nisagar, it's a nisagar mishum tolish, lechayiv mishum tolish, that's what Rashi, that's what the Gemara says. And then vice versa, I'm munach gabi yaseidus, and nichol gabi kaik, lechayiv mishum lateres. So lechayiv, it appeared to be to be chayiv min ha-Torah. So come to Rishon and Rashi and Tarsus and say, wait a second. Even though the Gemara sounds like there's a nisav deraisa here of tolish, less kosher, of kotzer, because after all, I'm uprooting the entire parpisa, the entire atzitz nachov, I'm taking it off the ground where it's getting its nourishment, and now I'm putting it on yesevis where it's not presumably getting the same degree of nourishment. So that's a nisav deraisa of kotzer. So Rashi and Tosfos both say, wait a second, that's a kosher, because the Gemara, in the middle of this sugya, talks about the following shadow. It's a klal. that one is allowed to do in Nisa Dirabbanan, Mishum Kavir Abriyas. We spoke about this last year in Judah, we spoke about the Tumas Kohen Psugis. So the Gemara in Brachas, Nav Kof has a klal, that you're allowed to violate in Nisa Dirabbanan, even Bakuba Asay, in order to enhance Kavir Abriyas. So it's going to protect somebody from becoming embarrassed. But when it comes to violating Nisa Dirabbanan, so the Gemara draws a distinction. The Gemara says that to violate Nisa Dirabbanan, the Shev Al Ta'asa, that's okay, that you're not allowed to do. Whereas to violate Nisa Dirabbanan, the Bakumba Asay, so that you're not allowed to do. How do you know that klal? So the Gemara says that there's a din of meis mitzvah. The Gemara is out from Sukkim that a kohen gadol is not permitted to be metame for any of his relatives. But the Gemara says ain't metame lechalsa, but metame for meis mitzvah. The Gemara is out from a special pasuk that the kohen gadol is allowed to be metame for meis mitzvah. And then the Gemara goes on and says, the Gemara is out also from a pasuk. Let's say a guy is on his way to bring the korban pesach. He's on the way to go do a bris milah to his son, and he passes by a meis mitzvah. So the din is that he forgets the korban pesach, forgets the milah. And he goes out and he does the meis mitzvah. So the Gemara says, how can he do that? He's being mevatel for the meis, he's being mevatel the mitzvah bris milah. Let the meis mitzvah wait. So the Gemara says, no, the meis mitzvah doesn't wait because of kavod abriyah. To leave a dead body around, no one's going to topple in. So that would be a violation of kavod abriyah. So the Gemara says, so you see from here that kavod abriyah is more important than the araisis. The meis is the araisis and milah is the araisa. So you see that kavod abriyah is more important. So the Gemara says, so let's derive from here that just as kavod abriyah is more important than the rices of Kavan Pesach and Milo, let it be more important than Lavam also. Let's say to enhance Kavan Abriyas, let me eat Chal Shabbos, let me eat Treif to enhance Kavan Abriyas. The Gemara says, no, that Shei Bal Tasa Shayim, that you can't derive Kumba Seis from Shei Bal Tasa. The fact that you're allowed to be Mavatel, the mitzvah is Kavan Pesach, the fact that you're allowed to be Mavatel, the mitzvah is Milo, that's only Tasa, that's only Shei Bal Tasa. So that's a special Chiddush HaTorah. But to violate something Mamish HaZav HaKumra say that you have no right to do. So let me reshow another discussion. So what about the fact that the Kohen Gadol is Matamik for Meis Mitzvah? Isn't that a B'Kumra say? That's a Shaila. Bless you, man. Well, Jew. Chalik's Rashi times is fine. That's the cloud of the Gemara. So there are Isas, there's no Heter to violate the B'Kumra say. But there are Abundance, the Gemara says, Gadol Kavan Abriyah Shadayit Lelosasa Shabbatayah, which means Lelosasa Lelosasa, that you are permitted to violate Yisum, there are Abundance, even the B'Kumra say, in order to enhance Kavan Abriyah. But to that background, the Gemara Shabbos discusses the Shiloh, which used to be a very relevant Shiloh. The person has to go to the bathroom on Shabbos, and after he finishes, he has to clean himself. So the things that they used to use to clean themselves in the bathroom in the olden days were, they used to use rocks, they used to use all kinds of things, which were leaves, all kinds of things which were usually considered to be muktzah. So the Gemara, the end of Emotziyayin, says that you're allowed to violate a chus muktzah in order to clean yourself, because otherwise it's going to be a violation of Kavod Abriyos. That's taka very important for us also, because hopefully we'll get them down the line to the Malach of Karea. So we're going to talk about whether ripping toilet paper is really Nisa Daraisa or not. When you're little kids and they scare you, they make you think that, like, if you rip a piece of toilet paper, so like you're going like one-way trip to Gehenna. It's also been a Torah, it's a Nisa Karis and Skiel Lecholadeus. So that may be true according to some people. We'll have to see when we get the Malach of Karea. We'll see how true it is. Even though my little kids, remember my kids, they come terrified. They'll come to the Mamash. I don't know if they think I'm the priest. They come to me and they say, you know, Abba, I ripped a chatasi, by mistake I forgot it was Shabbos, I ripped the toilet paper, gavalt. It was mukta, it was terrible. So kids think everything is mukta. That's the eternal lion Shabbos, that's called mukta. Everything is mukta. So they get a little bit older, then they realize that that's called malacha, that's called mukta. Anyway, so there's a shadow that whether the toilet paper is real, they're rice or they're abundant. So it's a big question. No mice, let's say a person finds himself in a situation. The tackle is nobody prepared tissues before. Now you're stuck. You went to the bathroom, and now never have to clean yourself. So what do you do? So the post can say you have to rip the toilet paper in such a way that it would only be awesome if they're abundant. So to be an Issa Deraisa, you're not allowed to do. So according to some post, we could just rip it regularly because that's not an Issa Deraisa. Some post may be mutter, whatever. But we generally assume that you should not be ripping toilet paper under normal circumstances. So how do you transform it into a derabanan? So you have to rip it in an abnormal way. Okay, so we'll get into the gory details. Hopefully, we get the malachas kareah. But that idea that we will permit yisum derabanan the makom kavod abriyos, that's this whole sugya of the aleph. So in the middle of this sugya, the Gemara says that let's say a person went to the bathroom and the only thing available for him to clean himself with is this parpisa, this conglomeration of leaves in the dirt, whatever the story that Rashi is trying to explain to what this stuff is. So what's the din? And the only problem is that the parpisa is sitting on the ground and now you have to pick it up and clean yourself with it. So the Gemara says it's okay. The Gemara says itil v'tzarif. The Gemara says that it's mutter. It's Rosh Olabah HaSafim. It's basically the same thing. Mutter l'kenei echba. So come Rashi does say, wait a second, there's something fishy going on here. that if we're dealing with a deraisa, the Gemara just said, if it's a deraisa, so how can you do a deraisa, even Makom Kavod Rav Elias? And Korachok, the Rashi tells us, you see that the Gemara is not dafka. The Gemara was just, just pulling your leg a little bit. The Gemara just is coming down hard and saying, Yichai Mishin Tolesh, the Gemara didn't really mean it. The Gemara really meant that it's only in a Siddur Rabbanan, it looks a little bit like Tolesh. It's not the real Makoy, it's not the Ayil, Azah, 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 Tolesh. It looks a little bit like Tolesh. It's taking it from the ground, but it was Mamash Mechub Lekarka, and I had picked it up, so now it's not some Mechub Lekarka. So that looks like Tolesh. It's also in the Rabbanan Mishin Kotzer. And therefore, the Lachem Kavod Rav Elias, they were bought. That's both Rashi and Tosfos Pshat in the Gemara. Why is it that it's not Tosfos Deraisa? In fact, according to Rashi and Tosfos, so Lachari, you could present one of the reasons. But maybe you could say that this is the whole nothing to do with Tosfos. I mean, Tosfos means when you're taking something from the carpet. Here, you're taking the whole carpet. You're taking the whole thing. That's the whole not included in the Malacha. But maybe you can say a different one. Maybe you can say the reason why it's not the reason why it's not it's not a timer, so I think. And it's supposed to be a sandwich later today for a bris. So if you would have made the bris in the morning, so it would have been mutter for me to eat today, because the Baal bris is allowed to eat on its own, that's nidcha. So if somebody died, I would have been mamish, I wouldn't be able to make drinking my water, I wouldn't have any problems. But he's making the bris in the afternoon, so the Pasha says that you can't eat till after the bris is over. No problem, after the bris is over, it's ready to be tshkia. It's not going to be such a, so as they say, my halalei rabbanan, so it doesn't even pay to the sound. This is a real, this has been a real winner bris today. I wasn't sorry to lose out something. Another guy was there. A guy called me last night that he was on his way right after Yom Kippur, and he left the Shabbos last night, and he's on his way to fly to Singapore. Okay, so by the time he arrives in Singapore, it's going to be a Monday morning. Next light he's going to see, next sunrise he's going to see, is going to be Monday morning in Singapore, across the date line. So he wants to know what happened to Tzom Gedalia. So I said, I got lost. I said, you don't have Tzom Gedalia. I said, you don't have it. I said, Nebuch, I feel for you. I said, the Rebbe Shalom gave you a Aseres Mitzvah, and you're giving back one to the Rebbe Shalom. You only take me 9 days of Tshuva. I said, that's it. You lost the day. You lost the fourth day of Aseres Mitzvah. It doesn't exist for you. So Pasha says that it was not the best. No, that's what I thought. First, I had to figure out where in the world Singapore was. And I knew it was somewhere in the Pacific, somewhere out there. So I wanted to check whether it was really which side of the dateline it was on. We spoke about the dateline in Shadows. No? We spoke about it in the past.
Yeah,
in
China.
Yeah. So this is part of the Shiloh. So I had to make sure where Singapore was before you answer. You have to know the Metzias before you answer the Shiloh. So I went to go get my globe. So what was the problem? The problem was I packed my globe. It's already sitting in Bergenfield in the garage. So I didn't have a globe. So I was looking for a map. I was looking for something. I couldn't find anything. So my kids have a little baby globe about this big. So I'm looking. I can't see anything. The only, I saw Australia and I saw China. But I couldn't see all the little islands in between. So I couldn't tell which side of the date line it was on. So finally, I found the map with the picture. So it turns out Singapore was on the past all the day. I mean, before all the, depending on what you call it, it's Apidin. Still considered to be east of Eretz Yisrael rather than west of Eretz Yisrael. The holidays, Ben Lechazanish, Ben Lechuzinski, Ben Lechuzinski, by every sheet possible that I thought of at least. So I think it's still, in fact, the guy did pass the date once. In fact, the guy's head was right that I think he missed, he lost something like that, I think. So I was telling someone in Shul today, one of the Rabbis said, should tell him to fly back in Yom Kippur, that way he gets 2 days. So that's the time. Works that way. Anyway. So getting back to the story, so that's why my voice is a little schwach. It was a long davening this morning. I had to say shir ready and shul this morning. It was ready the second shir with the water, so you'll bear with me. Anyway, getting back to the story. So l'chaim, there's another reason why there's no kotzer deraisa here for taking the atzitz knuckle and putting it on the pegs. Because maybe you can argue that even though it's on the pegs, but it's still getting a little bit of yanika from the ground. I mean, the Gemara has this yisod in atzitz knuckle, that atzitz nachlo may be dinim for karka, not only if it's sitting in the flat but mamish on the ground, but even if it's suspended above the ground, suspended in air, so maybe somehow the unique, again, we don't understand this exactly, but the unique somehow flies through the fly, flows through the air currents, it's also considered to be a dying unit in the karka. So maybe the only reason why the guy takes the parkisim, the guy takes the atzitz nachlo and puts it on the Yisegdos, so maybe the reason why he's potter is because he hasn't really been kotze yet. That means he hasn't really broken the nourishment. He hasn't really been okay double negidulo. What's the significance of saying this second shot? So Rabbeinu Yerucham is quoted by the Beis Yosef as saying Let's say the guy would really talk a break the amigla. How would he do that? He would take this per piece, he would take the yotzitz nachum off the ground and put it not on yesedos where it's suspending, but he'd put it on a table. He'd put it down on a chair. He'd put it in an area where he has broken the nourishment. So Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, that would talk about the innocent deraisa, even according to Rashi. It was the only time the Gemara said it's the Rabbana, and that's the guy who's picking up the yotzitz nachum, the parpiso off the ground, and he's holding it in his hand to clean himself. Or he's putting it down on the yesedos. So it's still munach, it's still munach kenega the karka, so there's still nourishment flying up. So that's not called ergedav megidulah. But taka, if you would do a real ergedav megidulah, so taka, that would be nisa deraisa. So that's it. It's usually assumed like that Rabbeinu Yerucham halacha. So it comes out an unbelievable thing that if a guy takes a flower pot and it was sitting on the floor, a flower pot which had a hole in it, sitting on the ground, and he picks it up and he puts it down on the bench. So he just did the malacha deraisa kotzer. That's exactly what that tali pasna. Pasha's tali pasna. Because Rashi and Tosfos were only made with the kolam of the rabbanon because it's munach hakav yisaydus, but really it would be ala shulchan, kisa, etc. So that would tap on me and say deraisa. That's a pretty fascinating thing.
Doesn't
Rashi say
in the Mishnah
that even if the dump is on the side?
So even if you cut off
from the bottom,
there's still.
It's still unique.
Is the
bottom the assuming that the unique only goes down.
When it says on Yisedos, does it mean it's on one peg, or is it like a bunch of pegs and like the whole bottom is still open?
I think the bottom is still open. There's still a hole that's connected with Chubin connected to Karka. I think unless you say like a Rashi, that means also from the side is also good. I don't know. It's very strange. So the problem is that the Rambam clearly had a different understanding of what's going on over here, because the Rambam quotes this Gemara of Parpis Ha'im Munach Agabi Karka, Benich Agabi Yisedos, Mechaim Shem Tomesh. So the Rambam says, "Yitaka Chaim Shem Tomesh." I didn't know the Rambam quotes it in Perek Ches Alachadal. The Rambam, it's a good barometer for the Rambam to see what the Rambam holds as the Arayis of the Rabbanim. Usually, where the Derech of the Rambam is in Rosh Shabbos, in the earlier prophet, he quotes the Arayis, he quotes the others and the Toldos. And later on, Perek Chafalef, then he starts to talk about the Asa this the Rabbanim, after that Malacha, this the Rabbanim, that Malacha. So it's usually a good way of telling where the Rambam places a particular halacha. If he puts it towards the beginning of Rosh Shabbos, that's a good simon that it's deraisa. So here he puts it with the regular dinim of kotzer. This is a mamish of kotzer deraisa. It's a polish of deraisa. So the problem is that the Rambam holds that this is a tolish with deraisa. So we've got a little bit of problems over here. He's got a little bit of problems with this whole parpisa story. What's going on? How could the Gemara say the guy's allowed to take the yatzitz and probably use it to clean himself? Doesn't the Rambam accept the Gemara brachas don't have a right, we don't have a right to be mouthed, we assume they're ice and kumba say, just to enhance covered up rias, so what's going on? So one way of learning that is maybe the Rambam held that we talk about Basel this Gemara at the end of the day, that when once the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there's a real list of their ice, the wash of the Gemara is for sure that way, the Chayav Mishum Tolesh, you can't get more powerful than that, so maybe the Rambam Taka doesn't hold from this Kula, maybe he doesn't even quote it. That's what some want to suggest. But maybe the Rambam holds that Metzias is a little bit different. Maybe the Rambam holds that in a chinami, that if it was taka munach ala karka, so you're not allowed to pick it up to clean yourself with. That would be kotzer deraisa. Maybe the Rambam was learning pshat that the only time you're allowed to clean yourself is if it's already not munach ala karka. So let's say it's already a dami yaseidos. The Rambam seems to hold that just taking it from the karka to the yaseidos, so that's considered to be an akira's dog in the gedulo. So in a chinami, even to go to the clean yourself after going to the bathroom, that would be awesome in a Torah. Maybe the Rambam held the hefter of parpisa for the bathroom, because if it was already munach agabi yaseidos, so now you're just picking up in your hand, so you didn't really do that much. That's a different eitzes that the farsh and the Rambam try to say, either to throw up this whole hefter altogether to the bathroom, or salvage at least in some shape or form. But yet, see, we're running machlokes Rashi and Tosfos against the Rambam. What is the din? Halacha l'maaseh, you take it off its nachal, which is on the ground, and you put it on your seidos and hold it in your hand in such a way that you haven't broken the connection. Is that also min haTorah? What the Rashi and Tosfos on the din Rabbanan, what the Rambam, it's din Rashi. But if you break the connection, so then Rabbeinu Yerucham assumes that even according to Rashi and Tosfos, it's din Rashi. You're doing it because you want to take it. You want to take it to use it. So it's like I'm taking an apple. It's a malacha to remove. I'm taking the apple off the tree to use it. So I'm taking the parpisa off the ground to use it.
You can't use it off the ground.
You can't use it the way it is. Right? So I'm taking it. I'm poking it. I'm making it for the purpose of using it. So it doesn't have to be. Kotzer is not only for the purpose of eating. It's like kotzer wood, chopped wood, turtle with clay. So that's also kotzer that I said. So up until now, we've been discussing the shayla of an otzitz nokel. That's the whole case of the Gemara is talking about. Taking an otzitz nokel, which was on the ground, and putting it agav yisayim. That's what would it then be if you have an otzitz she'eino nokel, which was sitting on the ground, and you want to take that otzitz she'eino nokel and put it agav yisayim. What would that halacha be? So since we're dealing with an otzitz she'eino nokel, so we can for sure don't have a derais, and that's what the mishnah is in the favor of Shemitah. Now, whenever you're dealing with Al-Tashir and Al-Nafuk, so then I tell you there's Bechal about a problem. Either according to Rashi, it's not Kederach HaZriya, so it's not Kederach Katsira, or according to the Rabban, because it's not Mechub Lekar. But whenever you slice it, the din is that you don't have any potential derais over here. So the question is there any Yisrael Rabban altogether? Because even Rashi tells us to agree that with the Rabban, you're not allowed to take an Al-Tashir and Al-Nafuk and put it on your say this. The Gemara was only Matal Tzarech Kavad HaBriyos. So what would the din be? We would say you would have an Al-Tashir and Al-Nafuk, and you want to take it off the ground and put it on the Abiyah Seder. Should we say that's also a Bechla? There's no Gemara about it. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says it's also. Comes the Mechad and says, yeah, you're not allowed to do that. So comes the Kidehu and says, wait a second. Why should that be so? How did the Mechad know if there's an issue, some kind of issue that I've been floating around, to take an Otzet She'en on Nochov, Mea Agavi Akarakin, to put it on the Seder? So the Kidehu makes a simple Cheshbon. Bishlam, if you're like the Rambam, that act of taking an Otzet Nochov from the ground and putting it on your seder as an issa d'araisa, so then it makes a lot of sense that the same way the Mishnah says in Tzadihei that there were gozer sira in an otzitz she'eino nafov otu an otzitz nafov, so that issa d'rabban already exists. We already have that on record that whatever you're not allowed to do with that Torah in an otzitz nafov, so you're not allowed to do with d'rabban in an otzitz she'eino nafov. So then according to the Rambam, it flows very nicely. According to the Rambam, since min haTorah, if you would take the otzitz nafov from the ground and putting on the Yaseidus, that would be Nisid Deraisa. So to do that similar act with an Otzach and an Otzach is also Nisid Rabbanon. So the Kash is, where does the Gemara say it? So the Kedek says, you don't need the Gemara to say it. You're better than a Gemara. You're the Mishnah. The Mishnah, that's all, yeah, it says that it will go with Otzach and an Otzach, 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 Otzach. But that's all fine and dandy according to the Rambam. But according to Rashi and Tosfos, so the Kedek has a problem. Why? Because according to Rashi and Tosfos, the very act of metilas ha'otzitz nakul from the ground of Yesedus is only an issur derabbanan. So now you're making a derabbanan square. Now you want to ask for an otzitz nakul otzitz nakul. That's like a derabbanan, that's like a derabbanan. That's like a gzera l'gzera. So Bishlam in the Mishnah of Tzadihei would say that you're not allowed to be tolish from an otzitz she'eino nakul. That makes sense because it's tolisha from an otzitz nakul is derabbanan. So tolisha from an otzitz she'eino nakul is derabbanan. Masha'en came the tilas ha'atzitz from the ground to the Yesedus, which even by an atzitz not was only the Rabbanan, so Mehenka tells you that you're going to create a nisr on an atzitz in a nafuk. So the Kineg is tied against the Shechonach, he made everything the Rabbanan, Yesh Me'ayin, and he says, not only did he make an atzitz, but Chara, it's already so far removed, it's not much a double Rabbanan, it's like Zerah, like Zerah, so Mehenka tells you it should be so. So the Chara, the simplest way to salvage the Shechonach is to say, very simple, maybe passes like the Rabbah, maybe the Chara, maybe Tachar, maybe Mechaber. That's so crazy. The Mechaber, most of the time, will follow the Rambam against Rashi and Tosfos. So maybe that's how the Mechaber follows the Rambam. That's why the Mechaber made up the Sisa Derabbanan. Because according to the Rambam, the Sisa Derabbanan exists. It's the Mishnah later on the Matzniyah. So the Kedega says it's very hard to believe that. Because when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Heter of wiping oneself with the Otzitz Nakum, the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to take the clumps of dirt, you're allowed to take the stuff of the Otzitz Nakum from the ground and hold it onto your hand in order to clean yourself. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make a point of saying that Hachav Mayaskin, it was already Agavi Yesedus. Like we said, according to the Rambam, the only way to salvage that din of Kavod HaBriyos is to knock it down to the Rabbanan, was to place the Otzitz Nakum B'tchila not on the ground, but rather Agavi Yesedus. So we assume that the Shulchan Aruch held at the Rambam, and he has to be consistent to that in that din of Kavod HaBriyos also, which the Maaseh is not. So the Kedega throws his hand up. He said, now he has the Shulchan Aruch in a stira. There's the side, the Yolek Rashi or the Rambam. The Yolek Rashi tells us that everything is only the Rabbanan, this whole sug is only the Rabbanan, so then we shouldn't extend this din to an Otzitz she'eino nakum. But the Hechatesi, we should make up a new din, the Rabbanan. It's a gzera. But you hold like the Rambam that the sug is a deraisa, so then talk about what's the Hechatesi when it comes to going to the mountain. So comes with the Kiveger, says the Yisayin, and the Birhag Ross says the same thing also. That, no, of course, you have to say that there was something else from left field that was bothering the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, the Cheshbon is 100% right. But according to Rashi and Tosfos, that this whole sugya is the Rabbanan, there's really no need to create a Issa Derabbanan to protect another Issa Derabbanan. So what's going on in this sugya? So it comes with the Kedega that we have run saying that the term Atzah it's Nakul, but Atzah she'ena Nakul. We've been throwing around and saying, yeah, whatever it has a hole, then it's Mechum L'Kakar Min HaTorah, whatever it does have a hole, then it's not Mechum L'Kakar Min HaTorah. So there's a Gemara tucked away in the, maybe we should open the windows, you know, just drop it in. Let's just get a little the remains of Hubbard, right? Yeah, it's a little bit of Hurricane Ivan coming out. So the Gemara Maseches Menacha says that this cloud, that Nakov is always a character, and Ein Nakov is never a character, so that's not really true. But it depends on what material the Atzitz is made of. But sometimes the Atzitz can be made out of a certain type of material, that even if it's Ein Nakov, al Pidin, it's still considered to be like Nakov. So what does that mean? So the Gemara draws a distinction between an Atzitz Shal Cheres and an Atzitz Shal Eitz. Whether it's made out of earth or it's made out of wood. So what's the difference, Dafa? So the problem is, as Machlokes Rashi tells us, what is the chiddush? So Rashi writes, and the Gittin writes this way, and the Gemara writes this way, that when does the halacha require that an atzitz has to have a hole? That's only when it's an atzitz shel eitz. But if it's an atzitz shel cheres, so even without a hole, it's also dino ke atzitz nakov. Why is that? So the pashas according to Rashi is because cheres is a nin karka. So when the plant or the seeds, whatever, sitting in dirt, and the dirt is sitting in cheres, which is vita dirt. Cheres is just made out of dirt, and that cheres is sitting on the ground. So it's seeds, it's a plant that's sitting in dirt, which is sitting in not more dirt, sitting in nachamol dirt. So it's all considered to be menachah. It's all considered to be the same mechubal karka. So when do you require that something has to have a mekev? There has to be an atzitz nakov, says Rashi. That's when you have an atzitz shel eitz. So the eitz, that's a different min. So then the only way to be machshir, that which is growing in the wooden flower pot, to be mechubal lekarka, is you have to get some nourishment. The nutrition's got to come through. So that's the purpose of the whole, to create that chibur between what's inside the pot and what's on the ground. When you have an atzitz shel cheres, then there's no need to create that chibur because it's all minachon. That's how Rashi seems to tie up the Gemara Maseches Menachos. But Rabbi Natan was a totally different shot. Rabbi Natan wasn't so halachically oriented. The Talmud says that to determine whether you needed a nakov or not a nakov, so you don't go basar, you don't go for hilchos mikvos, they're called minecha, not called minecha, you're going to show from in the middle and the prince says, well, what kind of story is that? So there's a bit of time, you got to ask the botanist, you got to ask the guys in agriculture, figure out tachlis, what's the whole point of atzitz, is that we view the atzitz nakov as the nourishment getting through. So says a bit of time, if you have an atzitz shel cheres, so what does it say, possibly in yob cheres? Remember, Laman Yamdu, my Kedushin? Not really Pasuk in Yom. So the word Kedushin, I quote the Pasuk in Yom. So if you don't know the Pasuk, it's more here. Laman Yamdu Yom Rabin. You put something into Cheres, so Cheres remains to Yom Avot. Stays for Yomei Cheres Biyana Yotzer. So we hope that Hashem will be zeichet to stay for many, many years. So Cheres, Laman Yamdu Yom Rabin. So Cheres, which is something which is going to last, so it's going to remain intact. So the only way to say that there's going to be any nourishment, any unique is going to get through, is only if you make a hole in it. If you don't have a hole, so the cheres is so sturdy, so powerful, it's going to prevent any unique from getting through. So therefore, the halacha says that you require a hole. When it comes to eitz, so what happens to eitz? Eitz is nirkav. It rots right away. You put an orange eitz into the ground, it's got it for a little bit of time. So since the Rabbeinu Tam says, since the eitz is already, it's ready, the nourishment is seeping through the pores of the eitz anyway. It's going right through. The eitz is already falling apart. So you don't even need an atzitz to be nakav. Even atzitz ain't enough. There's no atzitz nakav. So bein the Rashi, bein the Rabbeinu Tam, there is a chiluk between cheres and eitz. You can't deny that. The Gemara says the feirish in the sense of nakos. The only problem is the Gemara never spells out which is which. So according to Rashi, it turns out that in a sense cheres is more chomer according to Rashi, because cheres, even if it's not a nakav, is dino kenakav min haTorah. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, it eats, even if it's not enough of his dino kenach of minatara. So now come to Bi'ar Grom, come to the Kinegu and says, now we can begin to understand what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Machaber says, if you have an atzitz she'ein nakov, so you should be very, very careful. You shouldn't take it off the ground and put it onto your savings. Why is that? So say, it says the Grom, it says with the Kinegu, because even though it may look to you like an atzitz she'ein nakov, it doesn't have a hole in it, but if he did, it may be the lack of equivalent of an atzitz nakov. Why? Because say the Gemara and say over here, it's not the mechirei shah. It's mechirei zavishan. Who's giving mechirei Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? Which one's right? So therefore, we have to take the chumis of both. We have to assume that an atzitz shel cheres, even without a hole, is dino ki atzitz nakov, and turn around like Rabbeinu Tam also chumis and say that atzitz shel eitz, also without a hole, is dino ki nakov. So in effect, in one fell swoop, these gedolim both said that every otzis, what else is the otzis made out of? Plastic? I don't know, whatever, the only two, what? Metal, okay, whatever the other two otzises, the Beis HaChazal, the Achmerim, the only otzises that were made, either it was cheres, or it was made out of, most of our parts made out of cheres. No, so if we're not sure which one has the din of an otzis mokum, even though it doesn't have a nekev in it, so now we have three makra on both sides. And we have to treat all of our otzitzes as an otzitz nakum. So therefore, even though the particular otzitz that we have physically, nice, it doesn't have a hole in it, up he did, it may be the unlucky one. Maybe may the Rashi, may the Benetam, it may be the unlucky one. And therefore, we have to apply the din of the Gemara. What's the din of the Gemara? That high parpisa, hold us to the other name by milsa. Now, you have a parpisa, you have an otzitz nakum, which we may really have in front of us, even though it's not physically nakum. You're not permitted to take it from the ground to put it onto the pegs. So Sarah Kibeg in the ground, that was the command of the Shulchan Aruch. But he was machmir and b'tarei sofer. Even though it's only a Siddur Rabbanan, because the Mechaba holds a grash in place, that the whole thing, you have to be with those only the Rabbanan. But the sofer is a Siddur Rabbanan. Okay, so we're not sure. We don't want to be an ankle. We're not sure. We're not trying to be machmir. So therefore, we're sofer. We have to be machmir and the other chair and nothing. So according to this cheshbon, it comes out that our original lumbus was not right. That lu yitzuya, we would have a real bona fide otzichen anachov that we would be sure was an otzichen anachov, so that we would not make an issa derabbanan of taking it from the ground and putting it under the yisaydis, because that would type of be a derabbanan agabi derabbanan. That would not be a kud in the mission of a tzmi and of tzadihei. So the cheshbon is right. The only reason why the mechabe ends up paskining lemaisa not like that is because it is court, mechag is rashi minatam, and not shahad be machmir. So I had a shayla this past yontif, child, I don't remember anymore, about an otzich shayla. It was very exciting. It was a real kosher shayla. So it wasn't a real otzitz. It could have potentially been an otzitz shayla. It was more of a muktzah than an otzitz. So ma'aseh joy kachoyah and son. So Mary Yaakov left the key. I don't know what he was thinking exactly. He decided he's going to hide the key somewhere. He went out to go to shul. So rather than putting it under the mat, like usually put it, so he decided he's going to put it in the. We have this big flower pot on the side on the porch. He decides to put the key into the flower pot. He didn't want anyone to see the key in the flower pot. So he took a leaf, which was in the flower pot, I think it was tallish already, and he covered up over the key. That was it. So now we came home from shul. So now he told us, he revealed his hiding place about the key. So I got very, very nervous. I said to pick up. So even a niach, I don't know what it was not of it, I don't know what, no idea it was in the bottom of it. But we're not even sure, maybe we have to be machmir and everything. So to pick the leaf up, and even to lift it up, and to hold it in your hand, so that's mamish like a munach agave yisedos. So that the Gemara says, there's a problem, according to the Rambam, that's in the Siddur Raisa. No, the leaf is not growing anymore. This leaf is already detached. So it's not getting any yinika. So that wouldn't be a problem. No, to pick up the whole flower pot, that would be a problem, because there's still things growing. Here you're just taking the leaf. Comes the chesed, right? So here it would be just to take the leaf. So it's mamish, it's not like the view, it's mamish nothing. So once it's already detached, it's not is it growing anymore? No? All the experts will buy anything? No, but there at least there's something happening to them. There at least the buds are opening up. When you have a leaf that came off a tree and it's sitting in a flower pot, is that leaf gonna grow at all?
It's dead.
So I was looking at this leaf and the otzitz nachum, and I think it's like, I can't believe this. Here I'm spending the whole day preparing to share that otzitz nachum, and by golly, here we have it. And then I thought, no, this is not an otzitz nachum problem, this is a muktzah problem. But the leaf is not a muktzah, so you can't take the leaf off in order to get the key. So what you're really supposed to do is, like the Gemara says in the fourth bag of Shabbos, if you did have tuman, if you wrapped throwing your muktzah around the pot, so you're supposed to try to pull the pot out, and that's supposed to fall out by itself. That's called tiltum minatzah, the tzorach davar mutar. But that at some point, I don't know when, who knows. Tiltum minatzah, the tzorach davar mutar, so that's mutar. So, but it wasn't so posh how to do this. So Yaakov said, no, I figured out what to do. So he took, I was so impressed that he did this, he took a toy, and he pushed the leaf off the key. So he's mechavim to the taz. The Taz says, that's also called tiltum minatzah, the tzorach davar mutar. The Taz says that whenever you don't touch the muktzah biyadayim, As long as there's something in between your hands and the muktzah. So just the Gemara gives an example. Let's say you have a pot which is surrounded by a muktzah. So I'm not touching the muktzah, I'm touching the pot, and the pot is being pulled up, and the mail, the stuff is falling by the wayside. That's called totem ratzah tzarchem mutter. So the Taz says, who are they now? If you hold a knife and you push, let's say you have shells, peels, and stuff on the plate, and you want to clear off the plate in order to eat on it. So the Taz says you can take a knife and push off the peels. Because that's called Tutum Ratzah Tzarech to Avraham Mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. So the Chazanir says that is not true. The Chazanir says that Tutum Ratzah is only called when we could label you're doing an act of tiltal on the pot. So I'm picking up the pot. Oh, what? That picking up the pot is causing Davash HaMukhtar to fall, by the way. So that's called Tutum Ratzah. But Shainkin over here, I'm not doing an act of tiltal on the knife. The whole purpose of the knife, it's all nikra al shame, the moving of the psoas. The knife is just an instrument, it's an extension of my hand. Like a bowler, it's like an extension of my hand to enable me to do it a little bit easier. So you can't call it a maisa tiltal on the knife. The tiltal on the knife is bottle to the tiltal of the shamukta. So the Chazanish says that would not be called the tiltal minatzah, that would be called tiltal mamish. That would not be called tiltal biyadayim. So little bit of was mechabim to the machwek is the Taz and the Chazanish. I didn't want to stop and say, I didn't want to tell the Chazanish. So he said the Taz and the Shavur, so he did it, he talked about mitzvah, okay. So that was it. I think that was a very, very smart idea. So David, we're proud of him. See, all those weeks of Hashva, things, pays off. Yeah.
Didn't he set aside the leaf before Shabbos?
No, I don't think so. I think he that happened on Shabbos. I think he just picked the leaf, which was already muktzeh. That part he didn't chaf. He didn't chaf, it was muktzeh. Okay, 26.
You can't say you need the muffle or the leaf to get the key or something?
Doesn't matter. Total dovra, muktzeh ma, which is also evil tzarech hakavah. Only kishmach aliasa. Let's say if we would have put a hammer on top of the key, then it would have been worth to pick up the hammer. But here, the leaf is a muktzeh ma. I don't know, it's just in Shabbos. Fascinating Shabbos happening. Okay, so I want to move on a little bit to the next part of Kotzer, which is really the next Mamakomos. So some people didn't get the next Mamakomos, but we'll just give a little bit of Akdama, which is really not so much Kotzer Deraisa, but is really, what do we call it? Gezeira Shevehidlo, a whole series of different sins that Rabbanan are instituted, because I was afraid of reducing this activity, this may lead us with a Kotzer Deraisa. So many people are familiar with that original Gezeira de Rabbanan, Gezeira Shevehidlo, is what the Gemara calls in the beginning of Masechet Beitza, Paras HaNoshim. How in the world did it get up in the beginning of Beitza? So very, very strange, didn't you? First Mishnah Beitza says, the Beitza should know the beyond of the Zasa. Anybody else remember this thing? The first year, how many years ago? 4 years, 3 years ago, 3 years ago. So Beitza should know the beyond of is Asar. So the Gemara has a whole bunch of different reasons why. So one of the reasons the Gemara says is because it looks like Paras HaNoshim. It looks like if you have a fruit that falls off a tree on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so it's also to eat that fruit until Shabbos or Yom Tov is over because we're afraid Shema Yalav Yitlof. We're afraid that if I like that the apples taste so good, I'm going to eat it. Hey, if I want another apple, I'm going to go climb the tree and I'm going to go pluck down another apple. So the Chum made a Gezeira D'Rabbanan called Paras HaNoshim. So the Gemara says that a Beitza that comes out of a time of Golus looks a little bit like Paras HaNoshim. Not exactly. You know, you could distinguish a little bit. Scientifically, it's not exactly the same thing. But the Gemara says in the mindset of people, so it looks the same. That's one day of the Gemara. The other Amorim say it's not true. Taka is so different that it's not included in the Gezeira. And the Gemara Taka has the discussion that a Beitza isn't like a strip of Gezeira L'Gezeira, because the whole Paras HaNoshim is a Gezeira Shem Yitlosh, and the Beitza is like a Gezeira that it may come to the day Paras HaNoshim. So the Gemara explains why it's not true. It's Kulachad Gezeira, when you say it with Yom is a question. Fine, so the Maisa, the Gemara in Beitza, the Gimel has this Gezeira, the Gezeira it's called Paras HaNoshim. So Allah HaMaisa, if any fruit or anything else comes attached from the ground on Shabbos, even though I didn't do it, so it's also Midr Rabbanan as a Gezeira Shem Yitlosh. I remember one time I was looking up at a Sefer Kuz Be'Emosha, there's a Tepetzinus Chulis. So I was looking up something, and yeah, I happened to be learning, Shabbos at the time, so I must have been something about the sugya of Paras HaNoshim. And I opened up the safe and looked for something else. And I saw he has a paragraph that said Paras HaNoshim Halacha. So that's interesting. This is a lot of interesting horrors about Paras HaNoshim. So I started to read it. So I'm looking, I said, absolutely nothing with Paras HaNoshim. It's a shayla about Agumas. It's not, nothing to do with anything. So I said, there must be some typo or something. So then I was looking for the Jew that I wanted. And I saw it's another tshuva, Paras HaNoshim Halacha. Oh, this must be it. This must be type on the tshuva. I'm reading it. It's not a whole type, I said. Hold on. Every tshuva I'm looking at, and then I realized, at the end of every tshuva, he writes Peres Hanoshim Mahalacha. What he means is, Peres Hanoshim means it's like a sikum. Well, he after gives you a 20-page tshuva, then he tells you, and you want to know what the maskanas hadvarim is, so this is the Peres Hanoshim Mahalacha. This is the fruit that comes off the tree at the end. This is all you have to remember, is the following five lines. The tshuva had nothing to do with Peres Hanoshim. It was just his lingo that he is strange. Anyway, so the Gemara in Maseches Beitza asks the Peres Hanoshim clearly out of Gezeirah Shema Yalav Yitlof. So comes Tosis and is bothered with the Kasha. There's another Gemara later on in Beitza, in the third car, which also talks about using things which are Mechubal Akarka, which were Mechubal Akarka when Yom Tov HaShabbos started. And the Gemara seems to say that they're a problem of Mokza. What has it in the Sugya? If a guy brings you a gift on Yom Tov, it was Nach Hashem Vidorah, and it's Rabbi Yom Tov, so is it considered to be Mokza or not? So the Gemara has two different issues. There's one issue is maybe it's Bachot Lechum, so you have to know that's one issue in Halacha, something that's Bachot Lechum is a potential problem of using. And then the Gemara has a whole different thing. The Gemara says, Miesh B'minim B'mechuba. If he brings you a gift, which is something which has to be detached, let's say if a guy brings you, brings you a bottle of soda, Yom Tov, so then you don't have to worry about maybe it was connected to the ground when Yom Tov started. You have to worry maybe it's Baal Chutz Tachok, whereas if it brings you an apple, so maybe you have to be even more concerned that maybe it's connected to the ground. And what would have been so fell if it's connected to the ground? So the simple challenge in the Gemara is it's a pile of Mokso. Whatever's connected to the ground, when Shabbos and Yom Tov start, that's like such as Zahes Chadas, the person that managed no plans whatsoever using it, that's considered to be a Mokso. For the simple, most of the Rishon, it's Mokso Gomel, the Choladeus, the Machleksim, and the Tanoim, what is Mokso, what's not Mokso, but this may be the worst kind of Mokso. So comes Tosis in the beginning of Beitz and says, why a Peres Hanoshim Aser? A Peres Hanoshim Aser because of Mokta, or a Peres Hanoshim Aser because Shele Yalav Yitlov? She seemed to be two totally different reasons in the Rabbanu. So Tosis, it's a long Tosis of Gimel and Aleph and Beitz, says, no, we have to cover all of our bases. That the Chacham Aser, Peres Hanoshim, really for two different reasons. And the two reasons complement one another. Sometimes you have a situation where one reason applies and the other one doesn't, and sometimes you have vice versa. What does this mean? It also explains, usually if something's growing in the ground, so that's Ein Lecha Muktzah Gomer B'Zeh, means there's an Issa Kotzer on Yom Tov. So an Issa Kotzer on Shabbat, we'll have to talk about that a little bit tomorrow. So I'm not allowed to be Kotzer. So if I'm not allowed, if I know in advance I'm not allowed to be Kotzer, so I'm a Siyach Das from this apple. So since I was a Siyach Das, that's Ein Lecha Muktzah Gomer B'Zeh. I have no plan of eating it whatsoever. It's lack of Hachana. So Konstantin says, but let's say I have things which are growing on the ground, and they happen to have birds flying around. I have a lot of orphans, a lot of ravens around, and I know that the ravens always come by my trees and always pluck the stuff off the trees. So then you can argue, so it's not muktzah anymore. That means it's only muktzah for a guy who doesn't have ravens, but a guy who knows that the stuff is gonna fall off. Let's say the Moshe, he knows that a hurricane's coming tomorrow. So he knows that his stuff, his whole tree may get plucked off. So if he knows that his fruit's going to fall off tomorrow, so then you can argue maybe that's not considered to be mokta. But also says you can have eichet timtzim. It's a normal situation. You have a peach tree in your backyard, so the peaches aren't going to fall off, the birds aren't going to come, and have birds, and the hurricane in the forecast. So then talk to the reason of mokta would have sufficed. But every once in a while, you have a situation where mukta is not really sufficient. So therefore, the Chachamim threw another riser at you, the Gezeirah, the Derabban, the Peres Hanoshim, Gezeirah Shem Yalav Yitlof. Then Tosfos has to make the opposite cheshbon. Let's say, is there any case where the Peres Hanoshim is not really enough? The Peres Hanoshim would not have been sufficient to Aser, and you have to come on to the reason of mukta. So Tosfos says, yeah, Peres Hanoshim, he thinks, means something like plucking a fruit off of a tree. It's very, very easy to go and over apple picking, right? People do apple picking, so pluck an apple off takes you half a second. So it's taka, there's a fear that if I eat an apple that's fallen on the ground, so maybe I may forget the Shabbos and then go up to the apple, to the tree, and pluck the apple off. So that's a very realistic fear of Peres Hanoshim. Let's say like this. Let's say I have a carrot that was nosher from the ground. How is it nosher from the ground? It doesn't come out by itself. You have to dig it up. You have to pull it out. It's a whole avoda to get the carrot out. So comes tells us and says, if a guy brings you a carrot on Yom Tov, so what are you going to say? Don't eat the carrot because there you may come to take your own carrot. Tells us it's going to be such a hassle. You know, have to go put on your overalls and go get your gardening equipment in order to pull. I don't know. Anyone pull off carrots? And tells gives you an example. Vegetables. Tells us says it takes a lot of work to get the vegetables out. So Tosfos says, Mustafa Chazal wouldn't have answered Alt Peres Hanoshim, because the guy's not, it's not a split second decision. If there's anything that's going to take them a while until he gets the malacha done, so the stubborn guy's going to remember that it's Shabbos, and there's no fear of Shema Yahweh, the Klosh, or Shema Yahweh, which is the case of the carrots. So therefore, Tosa says that if the whole reason why Chazal asked at Paris and Ocean would have only been a Gezer, Shema Yahweh, the Klosh, so then there wouldn't have been any reason to ask for it by vegetables, but other things which take a lot of effort, a lot of time. So therefore, the Chav also threw in the reason of Moktzah. So Tosa's covered on all bases. Any time you want to eat anything, you want to eat an apple, I'll ask for it for this reason. You want to eat a vegetable, I'll ask it for that reason. You want to eat, sometimes both reasons apply, sometimes one of the reasons apply. It's going to be very, very hard. The only thing that's going to be Mutter is something which takes a lot of time, and the birds are around also. So I don't know if you're going to have such a thing. So therefore, Tosa says the apples are also, the carrots are also, everything is also. And in the Chinami, some things talk about both reasons apply, and sometimes one of the two reasons apply. So the two Gemaras are not necessarily sold to each other. Tosa is an interesting Raya. How do you know that the Gezeirah Shem Yalav Yitlosh doesn't apply if you have something which takes a long time to do? So Tosa is a Raya for the Gemara at the end of the 16th parable of Shabbos. It's a very important Gemara. The Gemara says, what's a bit of a goy does a malacha for you? So you're not allowed to be nana from that malacha. So the word turns out a life for you, so you're not allowed to be nana from that malacha on Shabbos. You go after Shabbos. So you have to wait the amount of time that the guy could have turned on, the amount of time it takes to turn on the light. So that amount of time has to pass the Shiyasu and the Motzai Shabbos. So the... We had that shadow also. We also had a Kadesh Yasa shadow. We had that, you know, Meyakov was very machted to do Tilkul Yad and Tilkul Minatzar on the leaf. And he also turned on the light downstairs in the basement. After someone had turned it off, the baby maybe turned it off and left it on because we keep our second refrigerator down the basement with a lot of food for Yom Tov. So we're going up and down the whole time. So I left the light on like usual. And came into the second day on, that the light was turned off. So I think the Yaakov felt bad that it was turned off, so he didn't need to turn it back on. So now he made it worse because Shiloh's Yulabi Nana from Lachas Katan. So not so poshut. Katan is already old enough to know what he's doing. It is a problem. So now I'm not allowed to go down there. If I go down there, so I'm being Nana from the light that was turned on to Issa. I have to go down with my eyes closed. So I was walking down the stairs a few times with my eyes closed and almost killed myself, almost dropped all the food and almost broke a bottle of wine. But that was this big type that he did by turning on the light for me.
So you left the door open?
Yeah, the problem is, right. So if you also remember my basement, know that either you leave the door open, by the time you get to the refrigerator part, or the refrigerator is behind the stairs, under the stairs, so that's all. I was trying that question, it wasn't so posh.
What about the fact that
he looks
like
a
guy
who has
a malacha
for
himself?
So that's
a life for himself and he's including you or something.
No, so that's what the Gemara says, that let's say the guy doesn't turn the light for you, he turns the light for himself, so then you're allowed to be nana from the light. So comes tells us the kasha, how are you allowed to be nana from the light? Shema Yalav Yitlosh, what does it mean? It's Shema Yalav Yatzmo, the same with the Chama Maser, to use the fruit that came into existence by itself, that fell off the tree by itself. So that should be also because we're afraid that the Jews are going to do the malacha. So what do you mean when the guy does the malacha for himself? So even though we can't ask for the Altamaisa Shabbos, it's not called Nana Milachas HaGoy because you're doing it with Tzarech Atzmo. Let's ask her because Gezeir Hashem Yadlecha Yisro B'Yatzmo, that's Tzarech Kasha. The answer is because it takes such a hard thing to light a fire. It takes forever to get your matches together, your Boy Scouts to go to your woods together. So the style, by the time he gets the fire going, he's going to remember since it's Shabbos. Therefore, there's no need to make the Gezeirah. So Tosfos brings a raya from the fact that the end of Kol Kisra, the end of the 16th Perek, the Gemara never mentions this Gezeirah of Shema Yadlik Liatzmo. There must be a raya, as you say, whatever difficult, there is no such Gezeirah. So that Tosfos is a potential problem, as Man said. If we take this lumbus of Tosis to his logical conclusion, we may have serious problems. Let's say Taka a guy does a malacha for himself, Bismanazah, a malacha like turning on the light. So it doesn't take that all that long to turn on the light, Bismanazah. It takes less time than it takes to climb up a tree and to pluck off an apple. So Tosis was learning that the Gezeirah Shemiyala Gitlosh was not a Gezeirah just by Kotzer. If you just read the Gemara, the Gemara only has by Kotzer. What does that by the malacha? So maybe it was only the malacha by Kotzer, a Gezeirah by Kotzer. The Tosfos is learning, no, it's a Gezeirah Kvolos. It's a Gezeirah by all Malachas. Anytime the Malacha happened by itself or happened through a guy, if we're afraid that you're going to do it yourself, that's not a problem. So now it should come out of a fascinating Chumrah. But if a guy turns on a light for himself on Shabbos, not allowed to be Nanda, not Altsmais of Shabbos. As a Shabbos, it's like a Mutter. It should be also Gezeirah Shem Yadik B'Yatzmo. Aye, the Gemara never heard of that Gezeirah. Yeah, that was in the days of the Gemara when it took a long time to make a fire. But this man said that it's such a short thing to make a fire, turn this football light switch, so maybe the same Gezeirah of Paris and Ocean should ask that. That's a big tzarchiyah. I'm not saying that with myself. There are some who have suggested that idea. It's usually not assumed that way, but it's an interesting ha'ara. So see, we'll learn Melachas Kotzer. Hashem Yalav Hitler should have ever thought that's going to ask in the case of the light when the great turns off himself. It's not the Tzarchiyah. If you follow this Tosfos logic, so then we're going to be up the creek. But call upon him, in terms of the Peres HaNoshen, so Tosfos just proves from the beginning of Beitza that Peres HaNoshen is a Neser Gezeira and the Tam Mutz is Neser, and sometimes the two can overlap, and sometimes you can have one without the other. Okay, tomorrow we'll continue a little bit in terms of the Gezeira, the Peres HaNoshen. I want to speak a little bit tomorrow about how it relates to Yomtov. Because the Mishnah of Gezeira is the case of the Gemara, tackling Yavi Yomtov, so I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll move on to it. Is the general rule for Sundays, is this in the right slot from 11 to 12? Most guys are in there, right? And then guys can learn for another hour until the end of Seder. Okay, I think it's maybe a little bit easier. We'll talk, we'll talk to the other people, we'll find a way.